You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach talking Miami Marlins with MLB.com's Marlins beat reporter, Joe Fusaro. Joe, there's one topic that dominates everything, whether it's regular season or postseason or offseason when we're talking Marlins, and that's Giancarlo Stanton. Most recently, there seem to be some rumblings that we might see some actual developments as far as trying to get him locked up to a long-term deal. Where does that stand as we speak, and what do you think the prognosis is over the coming weeks?
Well, I think it's right after the awards are given out, you know, whether he's an MVP or whatever, because all that could kind of factor into clauses and stuff in a potential contract. So I think they're going to let the process of this, the award season go over the next week or so. There's already been contact, you know, and there kind of has been kind of open dialogue between the Marlins and Stanton's camp. And I anticipate about the time the GM meetings are in another week or so, I think you're going to start seeing the framework of serious talks getting going, and whether or not Stanton is wanting to stay, it will be the major, you know, the major question. You know, it seems, you know, the Marlins have been very open, and in my more than 10 years covering this team, I don't recall ever them being so openly saying they wanted to sign a player as they have with Stanton. And, you know, they've been very consistent. They abided by his wishes and didn't talk contract during the season as he recommended or suggested before the season started. And now's the time to put up and see if they put an offer that he can't refuse.
Do you anticipate that Stanton's camp is open to those kind of conversations at this point?
Yeah, I do. You know, a lot of times with Giancarlo, you don't really get a sense of where his head's at, because he's one of the more focused on the moment people I've ever covered. And, you know, he made it clear he was focused on performing, and, you know, he wanted something to prove too and show what he could do being healthy. Of course, he got hurt in September, but everyone kind of saw this guy when is capable of being an MVP caliber guy. And, you know, he proved that to himself, played in every game he physically could until he got hit in the face with the pitch. And then, you know, now I think that, you know, he will want to see whether or not the Marlins are, you know, committed enough and have the resources enough to surround him with a team that could get to the next level. I think that's what it's kind of always been about with him. I think he's happy in Miami. I think he is, you know, he has a lot of friends, a lot of guys on the team he's happy with, the coaching staff he's happy with. And I think part of him would like to see him play it through and take it to October and see, you know, if they can have that kind of magical run. What has always been lacking, and everyone knows, it's no secret, there's high turnover here, high change, and players tend to get moved very rapidly. So if the team can convince him, and they've seemed pretty adamant about wanting to, that they are committed to the same goals and they're both on the same page in terms of where they want to see this franchise headed, then definitely I think a deal can get done. Now, I don't think it's going to be the 10-year, $300 million that we hear people talking about. I think you're looking at 5-6 years in the Trout range, you know, the $140-150 million. And I don't think Stanton wants a 10-year deal right now. And, you know, the question is, if they aren't in that ballpark, if it's perceived as a low-ball offer, I think that could, you know, not look very good for the Marlins moving forward. But, you know, I think they're prepared to make a real serious offer and try to work with him. This would be probably the most unique contract ever in Marlins history, because even when they signed Hanley a few years back, to 6 years, 70, whatever it was, I think it might have been on the nose, that was kind of a straightforward contract. Not a lot of bells and whistles. This may include everything from, you know, payroll clauses to agreeing to move into fences to, you know, at least a limited or entire no-trade clause, which they have not ever budged on. So I think that, you know, this will be obviously one of the most looked at negotiations in the history of this franchise.
You mentioned the Trout deal, and I think that's an interesting thing to have in mind because of Stanton's age. It seems like maybe there is this sort of opportunity to find some kind of sweet spot middle ground where the guy gets paid in a big way and is still able to hit free agency at 28, 29 years old and has another opportunity to do something big. Do you think that is a potential way to sort of find that middle ground where maybe they don't have to commit to some sort of terrifying multi-year deal and he still gets the kind of deal he wants?
Yeah, I think that's where the Marlins are, and I think that's where Stanton probably would be as well. I don't think Stanton wants a 10-year deal right now because of, you know, all the uncertainty that could follow. And I know the Marlins, and, you know, they did kind of make that run at Pujols a few years ago and probably are very glad they weren't, you know, as high as the Angels. But a 10-year deal, 9-10-year deals are not really what a lot of teams want to do, and I don't think that's where the Marlins are right now. And we've seen that talk. I mean, I've seen on the network a $300 million. Now, that I think that, you know, if that's what he's looking at, I think then you're going to see a stare-down contest whether or not they stick with their stance that they won't move him under any circumstances. So, and, you know, Giancarlo just went through a pretty traumatic situation where, you know, if that injury was that pitch a little higher, you know, it could have been career-threatening. And, you know, he said when he just got the Player's Choice Award, he's still having occasional headaches, you know, which obviously he was dealing with a concussion situation. But they also said that, you know, that injury happened September 11th. It was going to be an 8-week healing process with all the microfractures and all the trauma that, you know, his head sustained for all that to subside. So I think that, you know, there has to kind of be a look in both directions of, you know, what is my best interest? And, you know, just, you know, you see how fragile this sport can be as well as being obviously very well compensated.
Do you think the rest of the club's business this winter waits on this at all, just as far as them knowing what their financial situation is and either having or not having that cost certainty?
Yeah, I think that yes and no. I think everything I've heard is under no circumstances will he move in 50. So they could kind of almost look and say, you know, if he doesn't, if they just go to arbitration with him or reach some sort of 1-year deal, you know, that could affect how heavy they go after James Shields. That could affect, you know, I still think they're already planning on Yelich, Echeverria, Ozuna, and possibly Jose Fernandez, and that could be the second biggest offseason story in the Marlins. It's not to trump them all. I think they legitimately want to lock these guys up and, you know, do that now. Now the question is, do you lock them up and then go to Stanton, or is it all kind of sewn into one? And, you know, it's something they haven't done. It's something the Braves obviously did last year. I think that the Marlins are planning on locking up a lot of their core players anyway. And, you know, the question is, they've made it clear. And, you know, just to see how open and how many different people said it, you know, I'm kind of thinking that in the back of their mind, they have an indication that they can get this thing done. But obviously, I think they're going to have to move off of a lot of solid stances that they've been in the past. And, you know, I mentioned the no-trade clause earlier. I don't think that they would lift it entirely for, let's say, Yelich. I think they make the exception with Stanton.
Sure, that makes sense. What else do you think happens for them as far as building the 2015 roster? You mentioned somebody like Shields. They may want some infield upgrades. What do you think, as this club looks at building its 2015 roster, what do you think are the targets and the priorities?
First base and in the front line starting pitcher. That's why I mentioned Shields. I kind of almost think that could be made in a trade, which could involve, you know, some big pieces. And it might even involve, like, moving, let's say, either Cishek or even maybe a Nathan Eovaldi, you know, to kind of really make something very interesting as we approach the winter meetings and the GM meetings before on the trade front. But if I'm them, I'm calling Adam LaRoche right now. You know, that guy kind of fits it all, you know, for him. And, you know, that would be a sign to Stanton. That would be a sign to the community. You get so much better defensively at first base, and you got lefty power in a big ballpark. And, you know, you got a guy who's hit cleanup on a chance, you know, on a division-winning team as well. So I think a target like that, Kadire, you know, Kadire has ties with Mike Redmond from Minnesota, and it's pretty obvious that, you know, the Marlins have made it kind of clear that he would be a target if he, you know, doesn't accept a qualifying offer. And then, you know, Colorado could be interesting if Morneau, you know, were to fall there. It's another former Mike Redmond teammate. I think what they really want to do is say, look, they got this new ballpark in 12, and it didn't work out with the big payroll. But they got Stanton in their mind at least for two more years. Free agents and good players should want to come here. And I think they're going to try to spin it as these are the pieces to kind of buy into why Miami is an attractive place. So it's going to be real fascinating to see how it all plays out, whether they can really sell big guy on, you know, be the face of this guy, this thing. You know, obviously, by the time you're 29, 30, if you know, $400 million, if it's there, the market, $350 million, and L.A.'s calling, and you want to go home, do it. But see if you could, you know, be a homegrown guy and take this franchise to a pretty special place. I think that's kind of what they're kind of formulating as they move forward in this.
Yeah. All right. Joe Fusaro, thanks for taking some time to chat here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks, everybody, for listening.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, T-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.